Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Do what?
Hey, now I know you're from Royston.
Do I can what hear now? That's on our water tower in Royston. Do what now?
Hey, joining us again on our podcast, and we're lucky to have him because he is going to be a huge star, and we can always call back to this these episodes and go, hey, look, he was on our show before he got super, super famous. Caleb Sinan, one of the hottest young... Oh, I don't want to say that. Hottest young guys in the country. He's not only funny, he's extremely good looking. Did you actually write, I am one of the hottest young comics?
Oh, well, it's funny because every comedian has to write their own biography. You have to tell everyone about yourself.
Right.
No one will do it for you. And so I was like, I'll just tell everybody I look great and I'm cool. And, you know, everybody tries to downplay it, pretend like someone else wrote it. And I'm like, let's be honest. I wrote this.
Okay. So we can say that you wrote this, but it says, I have a unique background as a preacher's kid from a small southern town, Royston, Georgia, home of Ty Cobb, who the most racist member of MLB, who's in the Hall of Fame. I hope that doesn't upset you, but it's true.
It is true.
The town gives him the ability to relate to any and every crowd, even though he's a big old millennial who lives in Los Angeles. He's been on Conan twice, The Last Comic Standing once, and Bill Burr's stand-up show The Ringers on Comedy Central. And he's filmed his first stand-up special with Comedy Central in 2021. Is that out yet? When will it be out?
Should be next year sometime. So
should be next year. Is it the same jokes that's on your brand new comedy album, Funny for a Man?
It's new stuff that's not on the album. I think there's one or two bits from the album, but it's mostly a new piece. So that'll be awesome. That'll be fun or bad. We'll see. So tune in.
I don't think it'll be bad because your new comedy album, which isn't really an album, I guess so, because an album means a collection, I think.
Yeah. Calling anything an album now, I mean, it's a digital thing. It's a release. I don't know.
Yes.
Nothing means anything anymore.
I burned my copy to vinyl. So
you got a vinyl burn. Hey.
Oh, yeah. Wait till you hear these jokes bomb in the original vinyl.
I can't tell whether or not they bombed. Let me tell you this, though. I was listening to it again this morning, and when I was feeding my son Gil, and he kept like spitting the nipple of the bottle out and looking at the phone where the noise was coming from. And then when you did the accent of every British comedian, your impersonation of every British comedian,
yeah,
he actually laughed at the noises. So.
You got an infant spit take. That's pretty good.
That is a bit that I worked out on my niece and nephew when they were like 2 and 4. So I went through, I stayed with my sister one Christmas for like a month. I was just staying on my sister's couch. And I think my act became a lot of faces and a lot of sounds during that. That was a big year for me.
That is great. I practice a lot of voices for the radio show and this and that. And I've always been goofy anyway with, you know, around kids, but you know, I do it with him and he usually laughs. The only time he ever started crying as I was doing a very deep British accent, he didn't like it.
Well, I mean, there is an argument that no one likes it and that it's not real. So and then I told someone that and they actually were like a smart person. And they're like, well, actually that accent is fake. It started as people pretending to sound like 300 years ago, people in Britain sounded like us, but then they wanted to sound cooler. And so they just sounded more like that. I don't know if that's true, but someone told me that.
They were infected with a disease called pretension.
Yes. That's how you talk when you're holding a little glass.
That's right. Hello. Yes. The stem of this glass is very, very frail.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys both do impressions of your dads too. You could do some dueling dad impressions.
My dad is just, it's all dads. because I used to think, I was like, oh, my dad. And then I would talk to people and they'd be like, I think that's just what dads do. Or maybe just dads in the South. They're all the same guy. Like, I'll talk to my friends. I'm like, do your dad's hands bleed all the time and he doesn't know what happened to him? They go, yes. And I go, I thought it was my dad. So my dad just had thin skin hands. I don't know.
My granddad used to always have these weird bruises that would pop up underneath his fingernails. I mean, just huge bruises. And I'd say, how'd you get that? I don't know.
No, they never know. They never know. And I thought my dad had a double life, but I think they just, he doesn't work in a coal mine. Well, I don't understand where these cuts are coming from.
Every father in the South just refuses to use lotion. I think that's what the problem is.
Men didn't use lotion until Gen X.
No, my dad won't use sunscreen either. He's like, I'm part Cherokee. I don't need sunscreen. He gets sunburned to hell and back every single summer. And he's like, I don't need it. And I'm like, it hurt you. I can see your skin peeling.
Yeah, all those blistering Cherokees, Dad. Yeah, great.
Yeah. We didn't have sunscreen in the 70s. I'm like, well, that doesn't mean never use it now. You can use it now.
We didn't have the phone when I was a kid. Yeah, well,
right. They'll just make stuff up. I'm like, I've seen phones in Andy Griffith. I'm 99% sure they have phones, Dad.
Did you do a funny bit on your new album where you're talking about your dad leaving you a message? And that's pretty funny. That's pretty much what a lot of older parents do.
Oh, yeah. Especially
dads. I don't want to spoil a lot of the jokes for people, because I think that if you can't go see a comedian in person, which is the best way to see a comedian, get their albums, because they're usually, if someone takes the time to put an album out, mostly it's going to be their best stuff and it's going to be funny jokes. Your new album, Funny for a Man, is good. So I wanted to keep complimenting. Oh, thank you. Because
album is going to be called It's Good. And then that'll really get people downloading.
How'd you do with the release of the album? Did it make the charts and stuff?
Yeah, it made the charts for, it was about a week. It was up. That felt cool. You see it next to real comedians. You're like, ooh, I'm in between Ron White and Dane Cook. That's cool. And then it pretty quickly drops down. But
it does that with everybody now.
Yeah. It's nice. You get to be king for a day. It feels fun. That's why everybody screenshots it, because they know it's going right back down.
Do people forget that they used to like Dane Cook and they're like, oh, I used to like Dane Cook. I'm going to listen, stream his album. And then they fall asleep and it's, I mean, I don't know if he's seeking out Dane Cook, not to say that he's a terrible comic, because I've always been like, if you make people laugh and you can fill up an auditorium or whatever, if you're going on stage and making people laugh, you're doing more than I can do. And so I appreciate that. You know, he's not my favorite. Yeah. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. Well, I feel like so much of it is just, it's people who get their first thing. They either get the first laptop or the first phone, and they're like a kid, like I was when I got my first thing that I could download on. Mm-hmm. And then you either Google dirty comedy or clean comedy, and then you download the things that pop up when you type that in. So that's why at the top, I think it's always Jim Gaffigan, Brian Regan, Dane Cook, Ron White. It's always the same kind of crew, because it's just people who are just new to comedy and they just want to see something. For about 4 days, they would download mine, and then it would go away.
Yeah, the first Ron White album I ever had was I purchased it at a truck stop. It was a cassette with a bunch of cassettes, and we had just seen him. It was the first I'd never even heard him. Jeff and I went.
He was featuring for Bobcat Goldthwait.
That's right. He was the feature.
Wow.
We had never heard of him, and at least I hadn't. And we laughed our asses off. He was so funny. And so I went looking for his stuff, and that's one thing I found, and it was earlier and older. So I wanted to ask you that, since you're a younger, how old are you?
30 now.
Okay, you're only 30. Did you have that moment when you were a kid, or did you seek out a moment where you found a comedy record and you thought, boy, this is great? And it was kind of like something you had to hide from your parents.
Well, the one that I remember, the number one thing was Eddie Murphy, because it was really, really funny and really, really dirty. Like, and I'm like, Donkey from Shrek is talking. I mean, it was crazy. And me and my friends would listen to it in basements and we'd be like giggling at sleepovers. And to me, that's always like, you hear that from everybody. Like, Eddie Murphy did the exact same thing with Richard Pryor's albums when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I think it just keeps going back. And it's like, there's nothing like you and your buddies listening to dirty comedy in a basement and you're a teenager, and it's just really, I mean, that's nothing can really top that. But Eddie Murphy, and then Daniel Tosh was big with my group friends. His first album, we were all like, we couldn't believe it. We never heard anybody like Daniel Tosh.
He's funny.
Oh yeah.
He needs to get back on TV. I miss Flash.0.
Oh man, the greatest.
When I was a kid, I found my grandparents had some Red Fox albums. So much in the same way. Like, Fred Sanford, Is This Filthy? There was Eddie Murphy. That Eddie Murphy, Delirious, I think I can still quote from that. Not that you'd want to in public. But even Richard Pryor, my mom had those albums in George Carlin. They were on 8-track. And again, you can't, you know, say the name. I have a lot of Richard Pryor records. Oh, really? What ones do you have? Well,
the first one.
I have Live on the Sunset Strip and and others.
And others. Yeah.
Our band director confiscated my Eddie Murphy cassette at a rock-a-thon one time.
Wow.
It was like an after school event where we had to stay up all night rocking in chairs. And we were listening to my Eddie Murphy tape and he took it away from me.
Oh man. Did he ever give it back or did he just like
I don't know. He must have given it back at the end, but I don't remember.
Wow. Yeah, that's always the best. That's something I wonder if that's the same. Like you'd have to go, this is for adults only, but you know that means it's for cool kids. Everything for adults is also for cool kids who are
had to wonder why there was like six of us are huddled around this little tape recorder laughing our asses off.
Jeff and I went to the movies to see Raw in the theater when it came out, and the film broke or something. What? They had a problem with it. So Jeff and I got up and started just doing stuff from Delirious.
Yeah.
And the theater had a ton of people in it, but we weren't censoring ourselves. So that was fun.
Hey, that's pure comedy. That's to be a cover comedian. That's pretty cool.
So you grew up in Georgia. I think we talked about it last time. Royston, you do a nice bit about that town on your new album. But do you get back there very often when you come back to town? Do you stay in Atlanta?
I was in Royston for a bit on Thanksgiving. I went to my parents for a few nights. And my family lives all over Georgia now. My sister's in Dahlonega. My brother's in Kingsland, South Georgia. But none of my family lives in Atlanta anymore, which is weird. Everybody now everybody's out in the small town. So it's wild, you know, no reception.
Very little
just
internet.
Sitting there. Yeah, you can't even hide in your phone. You're just like, it's just right there. I'm just looking at dad for like 3 days. So it's a real experience.
Now, which Jimmy John's did you work for in Atlanta?
Downtown. I was downtown right near the CNN building and stuff. And it's the darkest period of my life.
You would deliver on your bike.
Yeah.
Mostly I would say visitors, right? Because there's not a lot going on down that part.
No. It was a lot of people in their office buildings and then people who were just wildly hungover. like in a bathrobe, and they would like with one eye, they'd be like, they'd be handing you money. It was a weird mix. And then Ted Turner for some reason ordered them a lot. That was always bizarre. It's just like, really? There's no secret rich people food you're eating. It's like you're eating a mayonnaise sandwich every day.
Did you deliver it to him and talk to him, or did somebody come and get it?
No, I never got to see him face to face, but he did tip one of our drivers $10,000 one time.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It wasn't
so
you.
That was, no, it wasn't me. No. It was, they were like, we split it up between all the drivers. And I was like, so this, I wasn't there. I don't get, and like, no, just the drivers that were there that day that could have followed us to our car and beat us up. So I didn't get any piece of the big $10,000 tip.
Can you imagine being so wealthy that you could tip a sub delivery guy $10,000?
Right. And I was like, that year I remember I made $8,000 for the whole year. And I was just like, wow.
You could have made 18. That's incredible.
Yeah. in one day.
Speaking of the Punchline in Atlanta, you're doing like a little bit of a residency at the club.
Oh yeah, it's pretty funny. They sent me. They're like, "Hey, do you want to do the 19th, 23rd, 26th, 30th, and January 1st?" It's like it's not even shows 2 days in a row. They're just like scattered holidays.
They wouldn't let you on the New Year's Eve show.
I mean, those New Year's Eve shows can either be really good or you get the drunkest, worst night of your life. I don't know. Some of those New Year's Eve shows, I'm like, I don't feel safe. I mean, people are. I don't know what it is, but. when people think their rules don't apply on New Year's Eve, like it's a gap or something. I don't know.
Yeah, we can do whatever we want on New Year's. It's New Year's Eve, man. Woo.
Right. Yeah, and the people put their feet right on the stage on New Year's Eve. Like it's their living room. They'll put their drink next to your foot. I'm like, no, I don't deserve a lot of respect, but a little more than this.
Well, you always hear the horror stories from comedians, and usually it involves a New Year's Eve, like almost every time.
Oh yeah, it's just people, and they also think I'm like, you know, you're like 50, like you're this hangover is gonna be bad. What are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, I can't believe it.
You're like 50. I'm 51. Yeah. I don't drink anymore for that exact reason. Every once in a while I'll drink, but it's always when I'm in a certain place and I know for a while that I'm going to be drinking when I'm there. But then I have to prepare for 2-3 days after that because I just can't handle it anymore.
Yeah, that's why everybody has those collard greens the next day. They're trying to like see that. Maybe that'll cancel that out.
I'm from the north. We didn't grow up with that. It was, do you want some spinach? There was no greens growing up. Jeff, you didn't have greens, did you?
No, not till I moved down here. Yeah. I like them though.
Oh, they're good.
We had a variety down in the south. You had turnip greens and collard greens.
Anything you could pick out of the field.
Yeah, and fill it full of much hot sauce as you possibly can and burn it. Yeah.
So you're out in LA as a comedian. Do you work every single night? What nights do you not work? And what do you do when you're not doing stand-up? Because you got to think that you're out practicing constantly. If you can, if you can in LA, I'm not sure.
Well, not in LA proper that much. For some reason, it's still not quite the way it was. Like a lot of shows are either coming back in January or just came back. So a lot of the shows I do are in like Manhattan Beach and Huntington Beach and like a lot of the sort of suburbs and those kind of beach towns. For some reason, I don't know why, but those are the ones I do mostly when I'm back home. Mm-hmm. I love the, and like any shows that are right near the ocean, big fan of those. Yeah.
Nice.
And and then most weekends I do shows on the road at a club and try to slip in new jokes there. And when I'm not doing stand-up, I like to go to the park. I got really into that in LA because for a year that was all you're allowed to do in LA, just go to the park. And I never went to once. I didn't even know there was a park. I was out having real fun in a brick and mortar location. And then now it's like still now I kind of like it. I kind of like going to the park and getting a cooler and you meet up with a few people. That's a lot of fun.
And do you do a lot of auditions? Is that part of the getting a sitcom or being on a sitcom?
Yeah, it's wild. The auditions are still, a lot of them are on Zoom. I did one yesterday and it was just Zoom auditions, which I honestly kind of prefer because there's nothing worse than your whole day. You got to drive across town in LA traffic. You got to park. You got to wait in line and then you got to audition and not get a part and then drive all the way back. And it's just humiliating. And I would do. And now after Zoom, it's like, I haven't done an in-person one in forever. It's just mostly these Zooms and you tape it yourself, send it in. And it's great. I did one yesterday and it was just in this room and it was like 12 casting agents on a Zoom call. And I'm sitting there just pretending it's for a commercial. And I'm like, they're like, dunk a basketball. And I'm sitting there, I'm just in a room pretending to dunk basketballs for 10 minutes. Like you feel insane. I'm like, I hope I get this, but I also kind of hope I don't. I want to pretend this never happened, but yeah, I do some auditions, but it's stand-up's the most fun thing. So I want to get them. That'd be fun. It's easy money, but yeah, I'm not as concerned with it as I used to be.
And how often do you tour, or is it just fly out on the weekend to some place? Now, are you headlining or are you featuring?
Mostly now it's been great. I used to set up these tours pre-COVID where I would be doing so many. I'd be doing like 31 nighters in a row. I would just leave for a whole month and either rent a car or figure out a tour schedule and just do a bunch of one nighters. But somehow, I got really lucky during COVID. All these 25% capacity clubs that were going, I would come and do them, and they would be like so happy just to have a comedian there. And then I got, a lot of them were so happy when they got back to 100%, they would have me back. And so I just doing a bunch of these clubs and just flying out almost every Thursday, flying back almost every Monday. And it's been great. I like it a lot more than being gone for a whole month. You know, right. You just go out, go back, go out, go back. I get to come home, sleep in my own bed, feel good. And it's been great. I'm in San Francisco this weekend, and it's the best. I get to pretend I live here. I'm walking around having fun. I mean, the shows have been great. And right now I don't want to jinx it. Every time something good happens, then there's another variant or whatever. But right now it's great. It's the best it's ever been. So
have the strategy for that. You haven't given up. So you go out if they reduce capacity, you're still available.
Right. Well, I would have given up if I could have gotten unemployment, but I just couldn't get it. All my friends bought 8,000 pairs of shoes with their with their extra unemployment bonus. I just wasn't eligible for whatever reason. And, I didn't get to take any time off of stand-up. So I was just like, well, I got to find some money. So I'm just out in parking lots yelling jokes with a bullhorn. with a hat trying to get donations. But yeah, it worked. It helped my career. Oddly, I was really worried for a minute. I was just like, I can't get unemployment. I'm going to die. But then I was like, this actually worked out better. I wouldn't have got the album without having done that. So yeah. It worked great.
And are they putting you up in a little nicer places now than the comedy condos and stuff?
It's about the same. I actually don't like when they put me in a really nice place. It makes me mad because I'm like, well, put me in a worse place and pay me more. I don't need this nice hotel. I don't feel comfortable in there. I don't even feel comfortable. Like, the water costs money in a nice hotel and the breakfast costs money. And I'm like, I don't know everything's too, I'm just not comfortable. There's no ice machine. I'm like, where am I need my ice? I feel very comfortable at a two or three star hotel. I know where everything's at, but not a fan of these nice ones. Oh, it's horrible.
I like the Hampton Inn. It's sort of masks. Perfect. It's a nice hotel, but it's really just like a Motel 6 with better sheets.
Yes. That's all I'm looking for. That's all I'm looking for. I don't want it to, like when the soap's nice, I'm like, come on. What is that? $20 for nice soap?
Yeah.
Just give me the money.
Yeah. You just start adding up all those costs in your head. Like that.
Oh, I know. I can't. Yeah. Oh, I hate it. I've been poor so long that I'm not comfortable with anything nice. I'm just not.
You do like Gilbert Gottfried and steal all that stuff. Like everything that's not nailed down in the hotel room. He fills a suitcase with it.
Yeah, I used to steal ashtrays from hotel rooms because I'd be traveling places and I would need an ashtray. But that was when you could smoke in rooms. And it is nice that you can't anymore because there'd always be one or two hotels near an exit where you could smoke, and they were the shittiest hotels. And then you open the door in the room where you could smoke, the air doesn't work and the floor is damp. And it just,
nice as it
used to be when everything smelled like it. But
I can't believe you should just be in an Applebee's smoking a cigarette. When I was a kid, and like 2 feet, like the smoking section's right next. It's not like there's a smoking section and then a hall. It's just like the next table. And I'm like, oh, good thing we're not in the smoking section. It's like the same.
I managed to Bob Evans in the mid 90s, and they used to have these bars at the front that you could sit and look at the kitchen or whatever. I don't know. Just lined with ashtrays. And, that was the thing. Everything stunk. The smoking section was not, like you just said, was right next to tables where people weren't smoking. Where I guess Jeff and I are old enough to remember all that, but too young to remember smoking on planes, right?
I remember smoking on planes, but I remember when it went away. I was a kid when it went away.
Okay.
That's crazy.
How do you keep that from filling up the entire tube that you're in?
Yeah.
Oh, it's insane. I can't even believe they still have the ashtrays on the planes, which is mind blowing to me.
Yeah, I don't like
they still got the no smoking, like no one knows. They have all these no smoking lights in the ashtray. I'm like, what is the?
Yeah, you know how old that plane is. I don't want to be on that plane.
Right.
Yeah. How's the margarita situation been lately?
Oh well, the margaritas have been. It's been interesting because now, for some reason, mezcal. I don't know why. What people tequila's not good enough for everybody. Where I go now, they're like, hey, how about if it tastes like smoke and dirt? And I go, well. That's cool. They go, oh, charcoal's in it. And I go, like charcoal. But yeah, I like margaritas, but people are, I don't know how you got bored with them, but yeah, people, it's red charcoal mezcalerita. And on the rim is peppers. And you're like, what? I like it simple, but I'm down with all of it. I got real into old fashions lately for some reason, like Christmas time. I like a nice old fashioned. it's just whiskey and bitters and sugar and like an orange peel.
Okay.
It's very, very simple. And it's a cocktail I can make, but I can only drink those at night. Like, and the margaritas are a good daytime drink, but if you're drinking whiskey, even the sun's out, it's not a good look. I don't know why people judge you. Brown liquor in the day is a whole vibe.
For a while there, around 2015, 2016, there was a whole movement you know how everything has like a trend and people in Midtown are like, we make our own bitters. And there was this bar in Decatur that you could go to, the Carriage House, I think it was. And like, we have bitters. And it was extremely expensive. but I guess it's an acquired taste. I've never been much into mixed drinks unless, you know, just like fucked you up. Because when I drank, it was like, I got to get fucked up. I don't care about it. Call it whatever you want. I just got to get it in me.
Yeah. And I like it simple. I mean, every once in a while, I like a nice, but at a certain point, I'm just like, well, if it's not that strong and it's delicious and I drink it in 3 seconds, I kind of don't like that, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And those give you the worst hangovers. It's like, it's so much sugar and all that. And then I got to have 8 of them. They're all $12. I mean, I can't deal with too much of the, and they give me these tiny, tiny little glasses and then I got to hold them really careful. And I'm like, this is not why I drink. I don't do it for this. No. Give me a big, thick, heavy glass of whiskey. That's what I like. I'll drink it slow and I'll look at the moon and it'll be a nice night. But yeah, I don't want
to sip it.
Yeah. Now every server has to carry a torch because everyone has charcoal burned on top of their drink and it's like overflowing with smoke before you drink it.
Oh, no, that's so true. I saw one yesterday where I was just like, we really got to set everything on fire? Like, it's ridiculous. It's a smoky. Everything's got to smoke. It's like, I don't need to be manly that bad. I don't need to drink fire.
I think drinking whiskey is manly enough. Any of those things that are made in a barrel, that by yourself and or not alone, but if it's by itself, you know, maybe some ice if you like it cold or whatever. But
yeah,
that's pretty manly. And that's why I don't drink those things. the only real tequila that I like is Patron Silver.
Yeah, Patron's great. Yeah, that's a good margarita.
Yeah, but it does. I love margaritas, but I'm saying that you could drink it without, you know, I need lemon and the salt and this whole rigmarole because it's tequila and it tastes like shit. And it just tastes okay, like the old Jose Cuervo. Yeah.
Well, I've had so many margaritas that are just literally tequila and squirt. For some reason, that squirt soda close. It's pretty close to like sweet and sour mix. I don't know, but it tastes pretty. It's a redneck ass margarita, but it'll work.
Squirt. That is a funny thing because my grandparents used to have, you know, all the soda was upstairs, but down in the basement, they would have the 2 liter bottles of squirt. And I thought they were there for like 15 years. And I would say, can I have some of that squirt? No, that's for drinks. And it's soda. No, it's for drinks.
Yeah. It's a good mixer, but people just don't buy it because I think they hate the name a lot. And I get it, but they're sticking with that name for 100 years.
Yeah, that's a bold marketing strategy right there.
Yeah, when they look through my Google search history, they're going to be like, "Why did you like the soft drink so much?
You really enjoyed that drink."
The only soft drink at the grocery store with dust on it. Yeah. Caleb, you're going to be performing at the Punchline beginning on the 19th, but not every night, but you're going to be there the 19th, 23rd, 26th, 30th, and of course, New Year's Day.
Yes.
Not New Year's Eve, because I guess they had something better planned.
We're having a holiday party out in Conyers on the first night you're in town. If you want to come out in the afternoon, it's 1 to 4 p.m. Atlanta Pizza and Gyro in Conyers, if they give you a car or whatever.
Conyers was the first city I ever had a paid gig in. That was a big deal for me. And I was always like, I called my parents. I was like, guess what? Your boy just booked a gig in the great city of Conyers. I was so pumped. Got $30 to tell jokes in Conyers. Right. I was like, I'm going to quit my job. I was like, $30.
Was that an old town?
It was a bar called Six Ways to Sunday. I don't know if that's still going. They were booking acts like me. So I don't know how long they were going to last.
You ever work with Vinny Bucci?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
What were your experiences like with Vinny?
He was one of those guys where the first time I met him, I think he thought he had already met me, or he mistook me for someone else, because he started picking up on a conversation I did not have with him, and I had never met him. And he was like slapping my back and like put me in a headlock, and I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but he was having a good night when I met him.
I like Benny. He has an awful lot of confidence, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's wild. Mm-hmm. It's really wild.
he was an intern. I don't know. He wasn't really an intern. He didn't really do anything, but for years on the Regular Guys show, and we did a roast, and his jokes actually killed. Now, I don't know if like Marshall wrote them for him, Marshall Childs, but he must have written some of his own jokes, but his jokes were great. They're better than mine. I mean, I can't write jokes. I'm not, you know, I get so nervous, and then I got to stand up and people are looking at me. I'd rather be behind a microphone and
just, yeah, it's tough. For some reason with roasts, I can never find how mean to be. I don't really know how to be, because on stage, I'm not really like, I don't know how to transition and be like, hey, hey, your mom is, you look like, it's like, it's hard. I always get either too mean or it's just not mean. And I don't know. It's hard for me too.
And there's a lot of things you can't do at roasts anymore. So that probably eliminates 70% of the comedy that you watch the old Dean.
Right.
Martin, hey, he's a little light in his loafer. Okay, we get it.
Right. You used to be able to say anything. It was great. Those Don Rickles ones, you're like, good God, this is insane.
At least the Comedy Central. Now, I never knew this, and I found out because I listened to Gilbert Gottfried's podcast, and it's all old Hollywood stuff. But the Dean Martin roast, most of the time the people weren't there when they were doing their stand-up. Everybody would show up and do them at different times. But it's so fucking weird. And then but the ones in Comedy Central, everybody's there, and there's an audience, and they're having a good time. You know, Michael Landon's not doing bad jokes at the modern ones. So before we let you go, so awkward, I'm not good at transitions, but who other than like Eddie Murphy, like when you started really getting into the, you know, your teenage years, who were the comics that you really liked the most, modern comics and guys and gals, if there are any that you followed? And, you know, have you met any of them yet? Have you met anybody that you always thought was really awesome?
Well, obviously Chappelle was that was huge when I was a kid. His show was really, really big when I was in middle
school. Oh, yeah.
And that was huge. I remember watching on a bus, watching Chappelle's show DVDs on a portable DVD player, which I haven't seen one of those. And I mean, that is a truly dead technology, a portable DVD player, and with a tiny screen and like, you know, five rows in the back of the bus of us like crowding around watching it and just die. Like I remember that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And then I had no idea that moving out to LA, you're going to see Chappelle all the time, where I'm like, you have a family and you live in Ohio, and I see him once a week. And I would just be like, what is this? Like, it's crazy. He's just hanging out, smoking inside, drinking. You're like, wow, this is, and he's a cool dude to meet. But yeah, that's probably the craziest, the weirdest one to see was Leno, like, because it's Jay Leno. No one on earth will ever look like him. And seeing him in person is like seeing Santa. You barely believe that's a real person. Yeah. And you can't believe, like, I heard that voice. Like, I heard him walking into the Improv before I saw him. And I was like, you've got to be kidding. Like, and he's just like, hey, how you doing? And you're like, what? No way. And I turn around. He literally drove his motorcycle up to the door, parked it on the side, like no parking spot. He just rumbles in. He walks in with his motorcycle helmet and like breezes right on the stage. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I was never more starstruck, just because I couldn't believe he's, it's like seeing Elmer Fudd. It's insane that's a real person.
And then he would go to a club like that and do a show after being so enormously famous for a decade.
Right. And just working on jokes for no reason. Like, he doesn't put out specials. He's got his notes on the stool and you're like, what? And he's like, oh, what do you think about this? You're just like, it's just insane. Seeing him is bananas.
Pretty good impression too.
Yeah. Hey, I do a great Leno. The kids on TikTok love my Leno.
I do Bing Crosby on the radio, and you know, six people who are still, you know, not on, you know, breathing machines, they laugh. but I have to reference what I know, and that's what I grew up on. You know, I tried working on a Pete Davidson impression, and I can't do that. I have to listen to him over and over again in order to be able to do it. And it's like, oh God, that's hard because, you know, he's Staten Island and I have no,
that was good.
Well, thank you. That's all they can do. But I got to start, you know, being contemporary, because to me, contemporary is, you know, shit from the 90s, which isn't contemporary. So
no, but I don't think there's really an excuse for not. Like, if someone has a really good FDR, I will laugh. He was long dead when I was born, but
remember,
I used to watch the Bob Hope, Bing Crosby movies. I thought they were great. Like, just because something is, I don't know why they're not embarrassed. Like, if I'm doing an impression and you don't know who it is, I'm like, you have the internet. You have the whole internet. Like, look up things that happened before you were born. I think it's crazy.
I look forward to Christmas every year when I can beat my children underneath the mistletoe.
See, at least thank you for laughing.
Yes,
you understand the reference.
I dig it. I appreciate it because I don't hear enough of it. It's always Christopher Walken. That's the only people want to impersonate him. I'm like, let's come on.
I can't do him. I can't do it. Hi, see.
Yeah, do your dad instead of Christopher Walken.
All right, I'll do my dad. Hey, it's dad. Did you know that you don't get that paper, do you? Well, it's because I get it online. Well, no, I don't subscribe or nothing, but you know, they got a face page. So the Star Gazette said, well, did you go to school with God, was it Smith or Smite? Did you, was that guy that he had his dad owned the gas station. Did you know him? I don't know who you're talking about. Well, he's dead.
Yeah. That's what dads think a good story is.
Yeah.
Put that in one of your skits.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, they'll tell you who's dead, and then it's almost like it's like an obituary without any research. They can't remember the names. They can't remember who they are, how you know them. And at the end, they're dead. Oh,
well, of course, neighbor, God, he moved. I don't know.
That's what dad stories are like in American Beauty, when there's that, it's like there's 10 minutes in that movie where there's just a plastic bag blowing in the wind and it's just going nowhere. There's no point. It's just random. And you're like, okay, that was what a ride we went on.
But we got to love them. They're great guys.
Yeah. Great guys.
And he does have a good sense of humor. So that's good. He does this year, you got that always the one that says if you're a redneck or you know him. Actually, I do. Oh, I don't know
him. Yeah, do you know him? Who are we talking about? Does anybody no one knows what's happening?
Sorry. Yeah, I don't get it. You mean the guy, the Jeff guy. Jeff. Oh yeah, him. Yeah. Well, Caleb, thank you for coming on with us again, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Please
come out to Conyers if you're bored on your on your first night in town.
That's we'll be great. There in the afternoon. We'll have a drink, pass by where Six Ways to Sunday was before I closed it down. And it'll be a very Merry Christmas.
And we should all try and make it out to at least one of his shows while he's in town.
Yeah, I'm definitely. I like
the fun.
We can have a giant cake, piece of giant cake, and some flimsy bacon. They buy their bacon at Kroger, you know, the pre-made bacon. I like the food there. That's we used to go there at like 2 a.m. because that's when all go there. Not the Punchline, the restaurant next to it.
Yeah, yeah. I used to go there all the time too. It's great. It's a great diner.
Always got the same order. You want more coffee?
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, same guy for like 50 years.
Yes. Hey, man. How are you? Caleb Simon, brand new album available for stream or download on all your favorites. I use Spotify. If you don't, you can use Apple. Do you have a CD or LP version?
No, but you can, if you want to download it, I think Apple Music or something like that. But I think when I do my next album, I'll put them both on vinyl or something. But I'm going to wait till the next one. So now it's just all online. But yeah, wherever you want to stream it or download it, it's out there on all of them.
And
come back on when your special comes out and let everybody know.
I will. I can't wait. Sure. Yeah.
Caleb, you're very funny. I really, really laughed my ass off listening to the album. I look forward to seeing you at the Punchline, and all the dates will be in the show notes and everything. And you got anything to promote, even if you can't come on, send it to us and we'll get it out there if we can.
Dope. Thanks so much. This was a blast. Thanks for having me again.
See you in a couple of weeks. Thanks for coming.
All right.
Thanks,
man. Peace. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.